Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker. You can find me also on the Game Brain podcast if you like board games. Otherwise, you can just hang out here and watch What Crappens. And joining me is a wonderful, hilarious man who always knows to stow his KitchenAid mixer when he's about to go sailing. It's Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
Well, hi.
Hi, welcome back.
Oh, thanks. How you doing?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Oh, just great. We have a whole new Below Deck. You know, it's been a whole 2 weeks since I've watched people clean for an hour, so
yeah,
glad to be back.
Listen, Below Deck sailing is back, and I thought it was much improved, like a much better energy than last season. I was like, this is what it should have been all along.
Well, I didn't want to firebomb the boat, so that was a big step. That was big for mm-hmm. me. They didn't have Jenna and Adam. I mean, I feel like every show on Bravo should fire Jenna and Adam because it immediately improves your show. Like, even if they're not on the show, just announce that you're firing those idiots, and I'll be...
This just in, Real Housewives of Orange County has fired Jenna and Adam.
I'm suddenly a huge fan again.
Listen, you know, Jenna and Adam get a lot of heat for why
because they're horrible human beings. Okay,
I actually am going to say let's reserve a little bit of space for Sierra and Paget.
Ew, gross!
It's like watching a saltine and like one of those
oyster cracker. It's like a saltine and an oyster cracker.
Just having a terrible romance. And then you had Byron. And you're like, what is this guy
we're still on those two, Sierra and Paget. Those people are what make swinging scary. You know, swinger couples, how everyone's like, oh, yeah. You think like, God, you must be really cool to be a swinger couple. And then you meet a swinger couple and they're that. They're just weird and gross and boring. And they're always like secretly fighting while they're trying to like have a threesome or whatever. Gross. Okay. Thanks for ruining threesomes, you guys.
Yeah, I think that Sierra and Paget were secretly the downfall of the season, and like Sierra's obsession with Teak. I don't know. And then Byron was nice, but I just didn't understand why he was there. Like I didn't understand his role on the show. It didn't quite make sense to me.
Byron was the Larry and Mo or whatever of
chief officer, first mate, whatever it was.
Yeah. Oh, I thought he was fine.
But he didn't add anything.
No, he didn't add me. But Sierra and Paget, I feel bad for because wasn't there a story? Well, not bad, but you know, wasn't there a storyline that her family had that boat, the Parsifal, and then they made it into like a business and they fixed the boat. And then Paget came on when he was like 15 or something and started helping them with the boat, and then ended up banging their daughter, possibly possibly problematically, adding up years, and then. Then they brought on the captain to sail the family's boat. Wasn't that their whole thing?
I think that Sierra's family boat was a different boat. But she was raised on a sailboat, and then Paget came on to help, and then they started having a very bland love affair. And then from there, it's like a love affair that you'd expect to see on like the Ion Channel or whatever it's called. You know, it's just like
the Ion Channel. Is that the murder channel? No, that's ID.
Oh, I don't know. Whatever it is, it's like a very, it's a very bland love affair that should be much more scandalous, but we don't even care. We don't even care that it has such strange foundations because we just don't want to see them anymore.
Yeah, and for people who hated it, we sure had fun talking about it for 10 minutes. But, you know, you get the point. It's over now, okay? It's a new chapter, guys.
Yeah. It's over, and we got a new crew. We still got Glenn. We loved Glenn. So we have Glenn, and let's just dive into it.
We're on Crappens on Demand today, by the way, because this is a very special episode. So this is on video if you want to see the gorgeousness.
I know. I want to rotate the camera diagonally. I want it to
And
be
Ben's
like,
got a new standing desk, so he's obsessed.
I, I'm at my new standing desk, and it really has not, if anything, it's actually made the background a little less interesting, because now you really only see the ceiling. Because even with a standing desk, my angle actually got worse with a standing desk. It's even more dramatic of a low angle. So now I have a lot of stuff going on here. I didn't really do my setup for this. I didn't road test anything. So we're just trying it out today.
You didn't do your setup for your stand up?
I didn't do a setup for like a standing desk Crappens on Demand. So this is, we're just kind of winging this look right now, but I think it's okay. I think it's fine. I mean, that's honestly, this is not like Stanley Kubrick over here. It's like a webcam. It's not a big deal.
All crew, brace yourselves. We're going sailing. So, announcement. We love doing terrible impersonations on this show, and we admit that they're terrible. We don't think that they're good. They are going to be worse than ever today, because this crew is like a united... Well, actually, it's not like a United Colors of Benetton commercial, because it's a pretty white blonde cast for the most part. But the accents are a smorgasbord, I guess, is a better way to say it.
It's kind of like, hey, remember the British Empire? And we just see... We're just hearing accents from, like, places that were colonized by the Brits. Although, I don't know if... I'm trying to remember. I don't know if South Africa was actually colonized by the Brits.
You are not dragging me into your goddamn history. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm not going to get into...
The point is this. We usually get some British, Australian, and South African. Maybe some New Zealand. We're getting some Irish this time, which is nice. I don't think we ever get our Irish. I actually think that we don't have a lot of Irish in general on Bravo, which is shocking. Because that's a fun accent to butcher. And then we also have Florida, too, which is fine.
And then the girl Glenn, from Florida has, like, a really crazy accent where she sounds like she's from, like, Australia and, like, New York, like, Long Island City at the same time, which is super weird.
And we have a Brazilian lady who has taken on Australian and English accents. So she's also kind
only
of
by people that she bones, though. That's the funny thing about her. She like just takes on the accent if she fucks you. It's a really weird superpower that she has. But she's basically like, I'm Brazilian, but you know, I was with Englishman, and then after the Englishman, I was with Australian man. So you know, it's everything. I'm like, so what? Their accent like goes through your womb. Like what? What's happening?
I need her and Madonna and Hilaria Baldwin to have like a three-way and see what comes out of it.
Oh God. They'd probably get bad press, and then a new baby would mysteriously appear, which is Hilaria's newest story.
Hilaria's baby. So so we start with Captain Glenn talking about like being poetic, thoughtful, saying it's not about the journey, it's not the destination. We just turn off the engines and go with the power of nature, and that's cool. It's really cool, and it's classic, it's timeless. I mean, when you feel the wind in your hair and on the sailing yacht, then you'll know. And I'm like, well, first of all, you don't really have hair, so not to hair shame you, but don't talk about the wind in your hair, Captain Glenn. Second of all, then we see things falling over, and I'm always won over by the things falling over. Whenever they show me something falling off a shelf, and I'm like, I'm in. I love watching things fall off shelves on this show.
I just don't like when people say power of nature. I find it really offensive, because every time we see the power of nature on the news, it's not pretty, okay? It's not someone having a fun vacation. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a hurricane, or it's a tornado, you know, or a freeze. I mean, I think of power of nature, and I think hemorrhoids. It's like, thanks, nature. Mm. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for that. And then so we see a lot of things falling over. And then this is honestly a very bad omen for the season. We then just see a diagonal Cindy Bar shop. And I'm like, ooh, this is how we're going to like bring this. We're start the season off was with a Cindy Bar shop, like a Cindy Bar shop cameo. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Cause sailing people I'm learning are like the sailing type of person is like trashier, not trashier, but like seedier. It's like motorcycle people, you know, it's like motorcycle people could be in a car, but they're like, why would I have wells around me? I'm a man. Give me a motorcycle. Right. Yeah. And it's like tattoos and. That's yachting people. I'm learning sailing yachting people.
Yeah. It's actually very on brand for Cindy Bar Shop, since you know, like the rest of her castmates, they prefer the Hamptons, and she's like Quag. And this show is kind of like the Quag of the Below Decks, right? It's like not. It's like fancy because it's a yacht, but it's like.
Like not it's fancier than taking the ferry, you know what I mean? Right. But not much. I mean, if you came onto my luxury vacation and told me my food just fell on my face because like that's the experience, I would say fuck you, and I'd write a terrible, mean, horrible, like gay expletive filled Yelp review.
Yeah.
And by gay expletives, I mean fucking batch batch, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. I mean, it's like, it's not a pontoon boat. It's not a pontoon boat. So, but, and Cindy Barshop is not a pontoon. That would be like saying
Cindy Barshop is kind of a pontoon boat. I would say she
is in retrospect, but like Quag sailing yacht, that's just very Cindy Barshop, you know?
Yeah. And for those of you who don't know who Housewives are because you only listen to Below Deck, just do yourself a favor and Google Cindy Barshop. Literally watch any clip and you'll say to yourself, pontoon. They're right. They nailed it.
Yeah. Exactly. So Captain Glenn is like, I'm back, but the rest of the crew is new. And this time I'm hoping these guys are a little more chilled out, not so crazy. And then, of course, we see like many clips of them being crazy and very not chilled out.
Yeah. So now we meet the crew. So we've got Gary, who's like a big face, long hair guy, like kind of an Aussie surfer dude. And he's like, I'm a good sailor because I'm good with people. I can drink a lot of rum. I surf with a lot of women.
Yeah. He has an indistinguishable laugh. He just, at some point, like his words just turn into laughter and you just don't know what he's saying anymore. Like, okay, sure.
And then we see Daisy, who's the chief stew, and she's like, He wants a lot of margaritas. I'll put him in his hole. And she's the Irish girl, but she doesn't sound Irish to me at all.
She sounds very Irish to me. She sounds very Irish, and she reminds me of Valentina from Ladies of London because she's like, people say I'm a bitch, but I'm just trying to get the job done.
Hey, like, Mom.
Oh. Hello, Mom.
Hello, Mom.
I think I'm really Irish.
Yeah. Usually when a lot of people say you're a bitch, it's not just because you like to get the job done. It's because you're a bitch. Yeah. Like, that's what I've learned from Bravo. You know, when people are like, yeah, people say I'm a bitch, but guess what? I'm just professional. No, it's like by episode 13, it's pretty clear you're just a bitch. Okay.
I don't think we've ever had one misread on the bitch front, right? has there ever been anyone where you said, you know what? She's not a bitch at all.
No, but that's not really in my personality.
By the way, that would be a bad thing if we said she's not a bitch at all. we want her to be a bitch through and through. We're gay men. We love that.
Yeah, I know. We're like, queen! So then Natasha is the chef, and she's like, I just have standards. That's all. And I'm like, oh, Natasha's a tight ass. I like it already.
She is. Now, I have to warn the audience, I'm probably going to call Natasha and Natalie several times by accident because she sort of looks like Natasha and Natalie, who were twins, who were on The Amazing Race together, and then they went on to Survivor together. And
you got rid of my sister? I shall get revenge!
Yes, exactly. 20! So, I have Natalie in my head for some reason. I said Natasha, and then later on, there's a guest who comes on board whose name is Natalie. So, just, like, bear with me. Like, this is gonna be my challenge for the first few episodes.
And then we get our dingbat for the episode, or for the season, Allie. And you know she's a dingbat because she says things like, I got you in prison. It's such a rapa. It's a possessed giraffe. And she's really like teeth forward. She's very gum forward. And she describes herself this way. She says, I listen to metal music, all those feeders, and all my pets, and I'm there to shop all the jacks. I'm unique.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what those pets are called. Come here, knife. Hey, knife. Talon. I don't know. Jimmy Talon. So, and then we meet Sydney, and Sydney's like, my parents always say they give me a proper raisin, but they're not sure if it took. Huh? I was like, oh, she's
American.
Yeah, she's American, but she sounds sort of Irish. Yeah. Or at least at that point, I'm projecting an accent onto her.
And then Jean-Luc, who also sounds like he'd be this sexy, mysterious guy, because, like, who's not sexy, mysterious, and their name is Jean-Luc? But he's not. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm Jean-Luc. The it factor for myself is my height. People like to climb the mountain.
And then we just see him in a hot tub with just like the world's worst tattoos. It's like someone tattooed an Ed Hardy shirt onto his body. It was just,
oh my God. When they show his back tattoo and it's like a coat of arms. Oh,
what?
Or like a family crest. I was like, oh my God.
Like, you have that much of a canvas and this is what you put on it.
Yeah.
this is how you do it. Like, you know, yikes. I have a thing with tattoos in that I can't stand when tattoos look like clip art and it looks like they're just competing for real estate on someone's skin. Like, I like it when they flow together and they look artful, but when it's just like, I'm going to stamp this Hello Kitty here and this coat of arms here and this like picture of a piece of toast right here, like Adam Levine. Did he have a piece of toast tattoo? I feel like he did. Maybe he did.
He has a lot of tattoos, right? I think he has like.
But they were all very patchwork. They were all very much like someone clip arted things onto his body, and that's like a pet peeve of mine with like bad.
I mean, this guy's I just noticed his back one because it's like a family crest coat of arms thing, but it's like it's all runny. It looks like maybe he got it, but then like maybe sat down with the chair with the back too soon and it like ran or something. It's like a piece of meat being unwrapped. It looks disgusting. I don't know how else to describe it.
And then we meet Colin. Now, Colin has hot tattoos, I think. So Colin, he's the engineer and he's like, all you have to know the ins and outs of how everything works, from the engines to the personal dramas. I'm Colin.
So then we get the obligatory montage of everything crashing down because still no one learns that it's a sailing yacht. And, you know, as we learned last season, for every commercial, it's like regular below deck, but it's sideways.
So we start in Marina Lav in Croatia. And Captain Glenn tells us that he loves sailing in Croatia because it's more adventurous and exclusive with beautiful towns and fishing villages.
You know, I love coming here. There's so many protected waters. I'm like, I'm sure they love your fucking yacht coming through there, buddy.
Yeah, we'll tell Mr. and Mrs. Turtle to go out and bask in your gasoline so that you're literally going to pour overboard, despite what you say.
Where else does it go? Okay, so you're not going to pour the gasoline overboard. So you're just going to clean it up with towels and then probably throw it overboard. Like, you were kidding.
So first on board is Daisy, and she's like, I'm a bit of a legacy. I made her Australian now. It's going to take me a while to work up to Irish.
We're going to need a month at least. I have no promises for this.
The pivoting across the world was really hard for us. But all her parents and her aunts and her uncles were yachties, and her grandpa even represented Ireland in the Olympics for sailing. And so she's like, oh, there's a little bit of pressure not to disappoint anyone like my parents and my grandparents and the Irish nation and Bono and Enya. You know what I'm saying?
I think that family is running from something. I'll bet if somebody does some deep Google dives, they'll find that she's from like an Irish gang family, you know, like an Irish mafia type family that's always having to run from something. Because your entire family, she went back generations. Everybody always on a boat running from something. Okay, look her up. You heard it here first.
Oh, it's my Aunt Patricia and my Aunt Margaret and my Aunt Margaret Patricia and my Uncle Peter. They're all yachties.
So then dumbass Gary, the first mate, he's like, I feel like a lion with me hair. Women are jealous of me because they're jealous of me hair. I'm king of the jungle. And he starts like shaking his hair. He starts just shaking his hair around.
So Gary comes on board and Captain Glenn is like, Gary? Glenn. And I was like, oh my God, you did it wrong. It's Glengarry.
Yeah, no kidding.
I was like, can we please have Ross from
Ross.
We need to like see this through. I can't have just Glengarry. I need to have Glenn Ross, please.
Hey, listen, Gary, just wanted you to know, coffee is not for cleaners. Coffee is for closers. Okay, you're going to have a great time on this boat.
Oh, I've got coffee in my hair. Oh.
Coffee is jealous of my hair.
Oh God, we're a disaster with these accents. Oh, it's like the accents and also the voice textures are all over the map. So I'm like,
who cares? Just dead. Throw your self-judgment away, okay? There's nothing we can do about it.
So now Natasha comes rolling up, and she just starts saying, she's like, I'm not a person who's good at sports. I'm not good at singing, but cooking is the one talent that I know God has given me. And she tells us that she is Trini, and she's a chef. So she's here.
Yeah. And then Danny, the Brazilian, she's like, you know, my accent is a mystery. I'm Brazilian, but I dated an Irish guy and an Australian guy and an American. You know what? Maybe I need to date an American so I can talk like, oh my God, let's go to the mall and do some shopping. It's like, you still sound Brazilian. Okay. And I wish I could say that that's the most stereotypical, ridiculous American accent I've ever heard. But I mean, that is kind of true. I mean, just listen to this show. We're like, well, we don't love Moz, but, you know, the rest of it.
I feel like when non-Americans do American accents, they either do Valley Girl or Cowboy. They're always like, howdy, partner, I'm American. or they do what she did, Valley Girl. Like, those are like our two extremes, which kind of does sum us up pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in Texas and live in California, so I hear those all the time. And I have to say, pretty good.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Yeah. So so now Colin comes on board, and he's coming in from Panama because he has like a boat down there or something. So I feel like I'm surprised we didn't get anyone who has a child in Florida, which I think
Colin will get there. I'm going to guess Colin has Colin. His child like in a dog crate like downstairs or something, you know, like the long-term babysitter. I think it's Colin. I'm going to bet
I think
you.
It's Colin, too. I think that's where you get that reveal, that he has a child in Fort Lauderdale, but he's working on a boat in Panama, and he misses both of them.
Yeah, I'm just going to say Colin because he looks probably the right age, and he looks like actually he knows his job the best. And the other two, you know, I mean, no one would have a baby with Gary or Jean-Luc, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think so. And the other thing about Colin is he sort of looks like the type of person who would love to have a scene where it's night on the yacht and he's sitting on one of the decks and he's like sitting and his legs are sort of like, he has his arms around his knees and he's smoking a cigarette and he tells a girl, yeah, I got a kid. Yeah. Long story. I mean, it was a mistake, but you know, God, I love him. Everything I do is for him. You just know he's gonna have a scene like that.
Yeah, she's my life, brah. She's my life. Okay, so Daisy's looking at Danny's resume, and she's like, "What? You've got quite a resume. You didn't want to be just two?" And she's like, "No, not for me. I'm fine, partner, mall." And she's like, "Ooh, quite an accent there."
Yeah. So now Allie comes on board, and she's from Australia. She's from Melbourne, okay? She said, "Get right out of this continent right this instant and get onto a yacht." And of course, there's like several instances where people think that Natasha is like the third Sue, including Danny, which is like, that says a lot actually about so many different things. So, Allie, the thing with Allie is that she's used to being a deckhand, but now she has just taken like a 7-day course on yachting and she's learning interior. So like you said, she's going to be the disaster.
And I think no matter where you're from, we all have this girl who this is how she says hi.
Oh, Allie! It's like an air raid siren. Like people are, people in parts of the world who are actually like getting under their couch as they watch this.
Colin gets a text from Panama. He's like, it's all right. Tell your grandma to take care of you. Everything's fine. All right. It's not air. New girl just came on the boat.
So then Natasha and Gary are speaking French because she's like, she's basically saying, do you speak French? He's like, not very well. She's like, why not? He goes, I can speak Spanish. And then Danny's like, I can speak Spanish too. And he's like, oh, that makes sense because you're from Brazil. It's like, isn't Brazil Portuguese? I don't know.
This is just where we're beginning. That's Gary because Gary only speaks fuckboy languages where he knows how to say like three things just to get into your pants, you know.
Yeah,
it's like, hello, can I get the lady some water, and we're fucking, right? Like those are the three things he knows how to say,
truly the romance languages. So then Sydney arrives, and she meets Captain Glenn, and she says that she's from Florida. So, you know.
And Captain Glenn is so Canadian. He's like, where's home? Florida. Oh, really? Florida? Yeah, in, you know, Wasatchee, Florida. I've been there. Yeah. We docked there one time. We walked around a little bit. What a great place. He's like everybody's dad, Glenn.
He really is. He is so sweet and adorable. He is just the cutest. He's the cutest man on Bravo. It's Captain Glenn.
And, you know, you immediately have to worry about Sydney because she's the girl whose family has a boat, you know, which I've heard this before. I've been burned by this one before, Bravo. And so she grew up on a boat and they do charters even. And Gary's just like, yeah, the Sunshine State. She's like, yep, you still know what Florida is. Thanks. Yes, thanks, Captain.
Thanks, Gary. He's like, I can speak Floridian. So, yeah, and he's like, oh, I've never been in a predicament where every girl on board is attractive.
Notice none of the girls say that. The girls are probably like, awesome, thanks. Thanks for this group of guys. We've got the square head with the hair and the guy with, you know, raw meat tattooed on his back for no reason.
Speaking of which, Jean-Luc arrives, and of course, Glenn's so short and Jean-Luc is so tall because he's 6'9". And Glenn's like, oh, whoa, you're a big guy, aren't you?
And Jean-Luc is a guy who miraculously sails by on being that tall. And he's like, I'd be lying if I said it was the first time I heard that. Look at this. My head doesn't even hit the ceiling. God. It's all fun and games until you try and get on a plane. Or in this case, into a little tiny bed.
Yeah. You know, if I were 6'9", I think what I would want to do is go on to profession where I have to sleep in cramped quarters. I think that's just that would call my name, honestly. So, he must be terrible at basketball. Like, terrible at basketball. Right?
If you're that tall and you still can't get on a team, yeah, that's pretty bad.
Like, can't you, like, isn't, like, doesn't Luxembourg have a team that needs position filled? Like, somewhere. Andorra, I don't care where. Like, Myanmar. Yeah. Like, there's a team somewhere that needs a tall person.
So Jean-Luc is meeting the girls and they're like, he's so tall.
He's so tall. He's like four Avengers climbed up on top of each other.
He gets along with Colin or whatever. He meets Colin, and Colin's the first person who doesn't say anything about his height. He's just like, hey. So then the boat is a mess, of course, because it's below deck. So everyone has to, guys, we're going to have a meeting in the cockpit. Everybody come onto the cockpit now. Now, welcome. I'm looking forward to this. It's about the journey. Okay. It's going to be long hours. And one thing that's upset me is very easily avoidable screw ups. Okay. So every department, I want you to chip in with each department. Okay.
Okay, just some examples of some easily avoidable screw-ups. Okay, if you're cleaning, don't use gasoline. Easily avoidable. If there are people swimming and they're going off over the horizon, keep an eye on them. Just easily avoidable things. That's all, guys. That's all.
If you're 6'9", don't try to fit into a 5-foot cubby hole for a bed. Okay, easily avoidable, guys.
So, yeah, so basically...
poor Jean-Luc. It's like, yeah. His whole existence is an avoidable screw-up on a boat. You know, it's like,
pretty you're much. Just too big.
So Gary is like, my management's all to dictatorship. As long as I look good, I'm happy. Just kidding. And he just starts shaking his head around. Shaking that hair. You know, this guy's karma, if he is a terrible person, and I suspect he is, this guy's karma is going to be to lose his hair. He's going to be just one of those guys who goes bald and just can't handle it. And they are really fun to watch in the food court.
Oh, wow. And that hair is going to be that's going to have a strange pattern. I actually, believe it or not, I actually like his hair. I'm surprised. I like that 80s throwback on him. It works for me. I'm sorry. I'm putting it out there.
You do you.
Okay. So now it's time to clean. So now it's time to clean. And it's cleaning. And then there's a stew meeting. And basically, Daisy tells Danny to teach Allie all the basics, which is like, what a fun concept to finally have. Rather have the seconds do train the thirds do. Like, what a novel idea on Below Deck. So Daisy's like, I just feel incredibly lucky. Danny is extremely strong, and she can take it all right under her wing, which is great because it means I can concentrate on getting the boat turned around and listening to you too.
So then Glenn is talking to Colin. He's like, I want to hear about this cat. Tell me about this cat you've got, which means catamaran. I was like, are we really talking about a cat? But I didn't, you know, I'm dumb. So Colin's like, I spent $100,000 on it. He's like, $100,000? Was that including buying the boat and then fixing up the boat? And he's like, no. It was like $100,000, then another $90,000, then another $157 million is basically what I was like, Jesus Christ, that's a lot of money you guys are spending on these cats.
Yeah, the catamaran, seriously. So yeah, his whole like existence is that he goes away, does a job, saves up enough money to then bring it back to the catamaran, and you know, that way someday he can wind up in a bar with Rob from Below Deck and have the more enigmatic backstory about it's like, I'm a treasure hunter, I repaired a catamaran, you know, in Panama. It almost feels like a palindrome, but it's not.
So then Natasha's having a chef meeting with the stews, and she's like, as a chef, I hate when people run to me and tell me, oh, you will never guess what they want, because you know what? I cannot guess what they want because I don't see them. So you tell me what they want because you see them and I don't see them. So maybe if you would tell me what they want, then I wouldn't have such a problem with knowing what they want. Do you know what I'm saying? And I was like, oh no, she's going to be a nightmare. And yeah. I love it.
Yeah, she just doesn't like people stressing in a galley. Why would anyone ever stress in a tiny, tiny galley that's diagonal half the day?
With pans flowing at their head half the time.
Yeah, it looks like poltergeist in that galley. So this is Sydney's first super yacht, but she's like, yeah, I grew up as like a naked boat baby. I grew up in the water in Key West. My childhood was interrupted by the filming of Real World Key West. But other than that, you know, I'm pretty normal, I think, except, you know, my whole tragic backstory is that we would get takeout from restaurants and eat it on the boat instead of actually sitting in the restaurants. So that's my personality.
Yeah. So then provisions, cleaning. And Gary, Daisy, Natasha, we're going to have a preference sheet meeting in the cockpit because we can't have it in the crew mess, because the crew mess is so crazy dirty, guys. Come on, let's be in the cockpit. Okay, go primaries are Rusty and Nikki from Newport. And they're joined by Greg, Alexa, Rhonda, and Natalie. They're avid sailors, fairly trashy people. But unfortunately, I'm going to take the trashy back because Nikki's dad passed. That's not nice of me. Sorry, my bad. Take it back. They're trash. Trust me,
I decided to write down Nikki's preference sheet. I paused it on her preference sheet, like sort of by accident, and then I happened to see what was on it. I was like, I have to write this down. So this is what Nikki Lynn writes on her preference sheet. Favorite cuisines. Seriously vegan, but not boring vegan. Love the crazy stuff like carrot hot dog and tofu ribs, etc. Pasta rocks as well. Love all cuisines, just not meat. Meat on boat for me is like cocaine for Captain Lee. No. Seafood's okay for other people, but please do not bring any dead animals on board in the form of beef or chicken or lamb or other, or the tip goes down $1,000 for every animal. And for breakfast, eggs, not on my plate. Omelet toppings, no freaking way. Breakfast meals, never. Pastries, nope. Salads? Oh, hell yes. All. So
it's
a really
excited vegan.
I know. I actually thought she was going to be a very different type of personality based on that. When she came on, she actually wound up being pretty chill and cool. But like based on that, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be some awful, you know, influencer sort of person. Like I was like prepared to really hate her based on her preference sheet.
But then fish are okay for whatever reason. Like it's fine. I mean, that's how I am. I'm a vegetarian. I'm not a vegan, but I eat fish sometimes, you know, because I've always felt like fish, I don't know, like they're kind of dumb or something. But then I watch these Facebook videos because I'm on the Dodo Facebook. And so I see these videos of fish that are like little pets and they come up and you pet them. And I'm like, oh my God. And then I watched Our Planet, which, you know, I don't know. I still do it, but I feel very guilty. But I'm surprised that someone that militant would be like, oh, it's okay. They can have fish.
Well, I just think it's funny that someone that militant who's like wearing shirts during the charter that say like no meat or whatever it was, is like on a yacht that's poisoning the oceans.
Yeah, always.
Being on TV trumps, you know, ideals. So, they have to cook vegan food, and Captain Glenn's like, vegan? Like, how do you say it? Vegan? I mean, we don't say vegetable, so why is it called vegan? Why is it not vegan? How do you say it? I'm such a dad.
Yeah, I'm a dad. Vegan. Daisy, this is how Daisy trains Allie. She's like, you know the vacuuming you're doing? Don't do it so much. Just go like this, back and forth, and then be done with it. It's okay. And she's like, oh, just okay. Don't waste your time. So then they're doing the windows. Then it's nighttime. And Daisy's like, all right, girls, everything looks very nice. Go off and be social. So they go off to and Glenn's like, guys, are you done? What's going on here? Have I told you about vegan versus vegan yet? I'm working on it.
We should also mention that Allie is a vegan too, and she says she stopped eating meat at age 5, and that she and her mom would go driving and they would stop the car every time they saw a roadkill and like have like a moment, like a prayer for the animal and keep going, which I think is very sweet. But also never going on a road trip, because that's a lot of stops. That's a lot of stops on the highway.
It's a lot of stops. And also I was thinking, I hope your mom had like handy wipes in the glove compartment. You know, I need that part to be added into the story.
Yeah. Some of those animals may have been rabid. Maybe some of it may have been you know what? Even if they're rabid, they still have a soul and they deserve to be remembered.
Yeah. Allie. So Daisy, let's see. Yeah, how did I miss that? That was like the best part. I've been vegan since I was five. And even if we see roadkill on the road, we'll pull over and say a prayer.
Because I say a little prayer for roadkill forever and ever. Your soul will be part of this world forever and ever. You got killed by a GMC Roadrunner.
So let's see. So they're all drinking beers together on deck, and Jean-Luc is downstairs, like taking pictures of himself in different like hats, which is, I guess, like a guy's version of Pretty Woman. Trying, you know, it's just shit he bought from the gift shop to look cool on TV. And thank God, at least he knows it looks stupid. I put Jean-Luc's stupid hat, takes it off, like him better now. Just my note for that.
So, yeah, everyone's hanging out, and the guys are, like, loving the ratio of girls to guys, you know? And Gary goes, I've learned one thing. You don't screw the crew, which it means that he's going to screw actually probably about 2 to 3 women on this cast.
Yeah, and no one's buying that. So then, this is where we get the huge back tattoo, and he can't fit in the bed, Jean-Luc. And so Colin's like, you happy up there? And he's like, I guess we'll find out. And he tells us that he's fit on every other boat, but apparently not this one. And this is an extraordinarily tiny boat, because there's 3 people to 1 room, right? Who's the 3 people?
The 3 people, there's 3 of the girls are in a room together. I genuinely feel bad for Jean-Luc, because he is very tall, and he is 10 inches taller than his bed. Because I was thinking to myself, why doesn't he just bend his knees and do like fetal style? But that's how I like to sleep. I like to curl up into a little ball. Like, why doesn't he curl into a ball? Does he not know about the ball technique? Is he the sort of person that just has to be fully extended at all times?
Well, even in the fetal position, because I sleep fetal too. I didn't know that about you. I sleep only fetal on both sides. Side turn. I do a swimming motion, because I can't move in the bed, because Bueller's always right next to me. So I have to like do, it feels like swimming, where you like put your arm up and your leg out to straighten out, and then like turn over, and then fetal on the other side. So I never actually move positions or locations in the bed. I just change positions or whatever. So my point of that stupid nonsensical story is that yes, you do have to get straight occasionally, and you should be able to fit in your bed, but I don't know.
You do have to get straight sometimes, of course. I also think that Jean-Luc looks like kind of an annoying sleeper. Like, he at one point he has like his pillow in his arms. I'm like, that's exactly the wrong way to use a pillow for
sleeping. It's not. Are you kidding?
He had no pillow behind him, did he? Or did he have 2 pillows and 1 for his
arms? Okay, here's how to sleep. 1 pillow on this side, 1 pillow on this side, 1 pillow behind your neck, and then 1 pillow behind, 2 pillows behind you, 1 on either side, so you can rest your arm on the phone while you're reading.
Pillow privilege. That means that you have all those pillows. I do. He looked like he only had 1 pillow, and he was propping his head up in the corner or something like that. If he had another pillow, that's fine. But the point is this. He was doing all sorts of weird positions, and I get it, because he's too big. But I'm like, dude, go fetal. Go fetal. I mean, maybe the lie here is that when you go fetal, you don't save that much space. Maybe you only go from like, maybe it's a difference of only like 4 inches.
I don't know, but poor guy. Okay, so then in the morning, you know, he hasn't slept. Mm-mm. You know, obviously we know why. So then Gary is just telling everyone to clean. He has a below deck. I forget what it's like doing below deck. It's like, and then they clean. And then, well, Gary says to clean. Yeah. And then Daisy says, did you sleep? Oh, maybe we should clean. And then another girl comes by and she's cleaning something. And then some guy lifts a rope and then they clean.
Yeah. But then at one point, Gary is like, he's like, hey, Jean-Luc, could you get some dissolvent? There's some black things on there. So Jean-Luc goes off to get some dissolvent for this black goo. And he just comes back with a bottle, an unnamed bottle, and just starts pouring it on the deck. And then Colin is like sweeping it. He's like doing his Newsies choreo. Like he's ready to start doing choreo. And then like just before he breaks into song, he's like, wait a second. That smells like petrol. Is that diesel? I smell diesel here on this non-catamaran. And they're like, wait a second. And they're all smelling it. And it turns out there was gasoline in the bottle.
Yeah, someone took as Colin says, some idiot has put gasoline in a cleaning bottle. And the most important thing to do is contain this. We are not going to let this go in the ocean. And so they start trying to towel it up and stuff. And like you said, like, you know, that's going in the ocean.
Look at that bird over there, Mr. Cameraman. Look at that extraordinary bird. Okay. Swish, 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 swish.
Yeah.
Also, who could have possibly left petrol in a cleaning bottle? I'm going to say it was Parker from last season, because he is the sort of person who would do that.
Or Elizabeth just swung by.
Oh, I thought I was putting something special in here for James. I didn't want you guys to run out of gas.
So the point is they have spilled fresh gasoline on the deck, and it's 8 minutes till the guests arrive.
Yeah, so then we get the guest arrival. They get it. Of course, it's done. You know, they're like, how are we going to do this? The whole boat's going to go on fire. What are we going to do? Everything's going to bring after castles. The guests are here, and everything's fine, right?
Everything's clean and fine.
Yeah, the guests come, and wow.
Orange County. This is Orange County.
This
for
is
you.
Orange County at a bike show. You know, like the weekender bikers who all have like $15,000 motorcycles. It's this.
They were giving me Huntington Beach. So it was strange to me that it said that they were from Newport Beach, because there is a difference between Huntington and Newport. So I think that they have Huntington Beach origins, but they've now done well enough that they've moved into Newport Beach.
Yeah. They have Huntington roots.
Yeah.
So
they also terrible tattoos. A lot of terrible tattoos happening here. And there's one guy in this group who he's like the clown. He's the funny one. And he's wearing kind of like a denim Speedo and like a wacky hat. Like he's like, oh, I'm going to make an impression on TV. That kind of guy.
And Bravo plays into this fiction that I love, where they're just pretending that coronavirus really wasn't that big of a deal, and it's still not going on at all. Because he's like, I just want to make this the most unforgettable time ever after quarantine. It is so nice, because everyone's out of quarantine. So I guess they could do this because they had to do the quarantine, and then they all got tested and shots, right. And then people are probably aggressively tested or whatever. But I do love Bravo, that it's just like, I know it makes people crazy, but not me. You know, I like that they're just pretending nothing's going on, because that's how I deal with problems. They're just like, it's over. Wasn't that terrible when we all thought we were going to die, and then it just ended? Now everything's great. Let's just go on with life.
I do like how they keep talking about quarantine in the past tense, as if we're not stuck in our houses still, by and large, for 80% of the time, unless we are like, you know, essential workers, etc. Yeah. So they all come on board, and there's Nikki, there's a Natalie, where I'm like, ah, Natalie, Natasha, it's hard. And a Nikki, honestly, a lot of N ladies. So now they're all toasting, and it's a whole boat tour. Oh, we also forgot to mention that, of course, this deliberately wacky guy has brought a brony paddleboard. Of course he did, because that's wacky.
Wacky! So they get the tour, and then we get a premonition shot of Allie. A premonition?
Yes.
Premonitory? What do you call
foreshadowing or
premonitory? I want that to be a word. Let's pretend it's a word.
Too many syllables for a recap that involves you know, these guests.
Premonitory. Okay, so we get a shot of her confused in the laundry room, people can get mad. Basically, which hopefully is shades of the future, because, you know, Below Deck does confused laundry the best, okay?
Yes.
This show, no one does confused laundry like Below Deck.
Premonitory. Yeah, this is true. I wrote down, Allie's confused about something in the laundry room. We are, like... We know this is just one episode until that ironing board starts to fall down on her feet.
Yes, and Wacky Greg is like pelvis humping, like, and then humping the master couple.
He's just made for memes, Ronnie. He really is.
So then Nikki, who's the main lady whose dad passed away, is like, you know, my dad would always say, live it up, because you just don't know when it's going to end, guys. I'm like, oh my God, lighten up, Nikki. Jesus.
I'm like, Nikki, what are you doing with these schmoes then? So, yeah. So now, like, we're going to leave Doc, and the ropes are coming up, and we're going. And Rusty's like, we're going to bend this bitch over, yeah. And Greg is like, bend this bitch, yeah, wacky meme, guys.
Wacky misogyny, fine. So then Natasha's like, we're going sailing. Come here, baby. And she grabs her KitchenAid.
That was like the most emotionally authentic moment of 2021. Her grabbing that KitchenAid and being like, come here. It's like those movies where like... It's like those movies where like troops are coming in and a parent has to hide a child under yes. like a behind a couch or something.
So Daisy's telling everyone, anything you can think to move? No irons, all right. Lady in the laundry, I'm assuming you're a disaster. Nothing iron, wall the seals yes. going up, all right.
New iron, like, I know this will be sort of common sense because we'll be diagonal and there's a hot iron. Do not touch the hot iron during the diagonal times in the boat. I know it's obvious, but I can already tell you're kind of dumb.
Well, I'm sure nervous. It's like the first time I ever went to Florida. I thought, God, what kind of paradise is this? But I'm nervous because the guests are avid sailors and we're avid sailors, and that could make our job harder, because if there's holes in our games, they're going to see it.
They are shit-faced.
Yeah,
you could just blow a Kleenex near their face and they're like, oh, we're sailing, look at that sail.
Yeah, those guys are so drunk, all they're gonna see are holes, okay? They're already humping random things around the boat.
Literally just put a whole bunch of Old Spice things around them and they're like, oh, that was a pretty impressive fleet.
So the sail's going up, dun dun. Dun 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 dun,
Majesty. Dun 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 dun.
Yeah, the music for this is so majestic. That was Casino Moronga or Pechanga, I forget. But
also majestic, does not.
Yes, also majestic. But this is like the crown music. It's like.
I always time fall the sales for go it. Up. They do it every single time, and I'm always like, I'm just sitting there watching, and I'm like, oh, the magic of sailing! I get so into it, and then of course Greg in his speedo climbs up to the front of the boat onto the. Is that the bow or stern, whatever it is? And I'm like, oh God, he's going to do King of the World. And then he somehow manages to do something worse than King of the World. He starts playing harmonica and thrusting his pelvis. I'm like, please, please let there be a road.
Like
wave.
He's singing a song at Glenn. He's like, yeah, I'm going to fuck you, Glenn. God, those guys were wacky. So then Glenn is talking about how Sydney surprised him, because during this whole thing, you know, you see them like move the rope and then lift that rope and then turn that thing and then that rope. This crew seems to have a lot of more knowledge than the other crew, right? Because yeah. Below Deck regular, it seems like they don't really do anything. I read the Reddit AMA, well, part of it, one of you guys sent us a link for the Reddit AMA. What the fuck
MMA,
today, Ronnie?
The Reddit MMA.
AMA. Yeah, the Reddit AMA Redditors of Rob. Fight. Rob from last season, great. Who's just so much more of an asshole off camera than he is on camera. And he was giving away production secrets. And basically he's saying there's a whole skeleton crew that actually does the work the whole time and not them, which makes sense.
That was in the New York Times, by the way.
Well, I don't read that trash. Okay? No, but I'm saying that
he probably thinks, like, he's giving away the secrets. Like, he's so cool when it's been, like, published.
Yeah, well, it was like a couple, you know, it was long. But anyway, I won't go into the whole thing. But I just thought it was funny because on that show, you could probably get away with it. But not Sailing Yacht. There is no room for a skeleton crew. I think that's why everybody has a name on this one.
Yeah, I think so. So, yeah, so Glenn is saying all sorts of stuff that doesn't make sense to me. Like, okay, stay on this tech for a while and take advantage of this puff, which sounded like they were just getting high, but whatever. So we're all diagonal, and then Gary is asking for 1942, por favor, and a hug. It's wacky. So wacky.
Plates for desserts, plate for desserts. Everyone's hammered as hell. And Nikki starts getting really annoyed. And she's like, please, honey, slow your roll. All right, slow your roll. He's like, yeah, you fucking slow your roll. Give me a hole, wench. Give me a hole. The guys are just nightmares.
They're awful. And she's like, this is your one warning. and otherwise, it's going to be apocalypse, okay? Yeah. So now the sales are coming down. Jean-Luc is going to bed. And they're changing into their blacks. And then now as they're bringing the sales down, Glenn's French Canadian side really comes out because he goes from being like, oh, I'm just Glenn, to he's going like, one, two, three, oh, one, two, three. I was like, where'd that accent come from, Glenn?
So everything goes great. Okay. And Sydney is confusing accent wise, but she's really good with the wheel, apparently. So she's Glenn's super impressed. Yeah. So then Gary comes in and Glenn's like, wow, that was amazing. That was so amazing, Sydney. And Gary's like, yeah, look, let me get something off your forehead there. Sorry, it's just irritating. How dare you, sir?
Touching her forehead, gratuitous forehead touch. So now it's dinner, and there's this vegan meal coming out that looks lovely. It's like a beetroot carpaccio. There's a tuna tartare for the non-vegans. And Natasha's just talking about how she just would work herself to the bone just to make people happy, because that's just who she is. So the dishes are going up, and they arrive, and then Rusty goes, where's the meat? Crazy face here as a vegan. She's also my wife. Stupid. I'll give her the meat.
And Nikki's trying to make the best of it. She's like, oh, this is so good. I don't even like beets. And this is just so good. And Rusty's like, hey, can I have some vodka with my wine? And then Allie has done the shower in the toilet. She just needs to wipe down the sink. And poor Jean-Luc is trying to sleep. And then we get my favorite character in real life and TV shows, gnocchi. I mean, whoever thought of turning potatoes into pasta, little pasta dumplings. God damn it, I love you, dumpies. Sir Gnocchi.
They look lovely. So then we see another clue that Allie's going to be a disaster is an extended shot of her trying to open up a cabinet. Like, very Elizabeth. This is an Elizabethan moment for her, because she's just with the cabinet door like... for like a minute, we're just like watching her opening this door.
Well, and there's like multiple doors, and she's trying multiple doors, and then finally one opens, so she just goes with that one. But these doors are different than normal boats, because they have to lock a certain way to not fling open, you know? So she just doesn't know the special sailing ways of cabinet doors yet. Okay, Bam?
She'll learn, maybe. So then we see, and then we're back to the guest going, boats and hoes, boats and hoes, boats and hoes. And then you hear a voice, I'm assuming it was Nikki, saying, I'm going to murder someone.
So Nikki is telling her dad's story, because this trip is for her dad, you know, who passed away. So one of the drunk guys is like, hey, Nikki, tell us about your dad, because we're here for your dad, right? Go ahead and talk about your dad. This will be good.
Yeah,
and
she's like, hey, what's your name? Daisy. Oh, Daisy Dukes. Never heard that one before, I bet.
She's like, well, my dad came here with $8. It was $5. It was $8. It was $5. I remember him saying five. You know, shut the fuck up.
Greg just starts playing a harmonica.
Yeah. Oh, so he's like, just play the damn thing then. So then the guys start drunk fighting where they don't even know what they're talking about. One of them's like, I didn't play the harmonica. You better play the harmonica. No one knows what the fuck's going on. So Nikki's like, good night, motherfuckers. She gets up and goes to bed.
Yeah, pretty much. She's like, this is the worst dinner I've had in my goddamn life. So she leaves. Daisy goes and tells Glenn that Nikki is upset with everything. And then... And then we have this shot of Greg sitting at the table, and there's this other lady. I think this is Natalie, and she's like, So what do you have to say about that, Craig? And he goes, it's Glag. She goes, whatever, I don't give a shit.
And then upstairs, the angry guy is like, you know, fucking Greg, that guy's a fucking alcoholic.
And now we also have like the beginning of Daisy for the next 5 minutes telling everyone to toity up. She's like, oh, I just need you to toity up. Can you toity up, please? Can you toity that up? Oh, I just need you to toity up. Can you toity up? Toity.
So Greg's like, oh, hey, I like your tattoo, bro. And Daisy's like, oh, I've got a tattoo as well, but it's offensive. And Greg's like, is it on your vagina? She's like, no, well, I'm embarrassed now. I'm so embarrassed, which is why I brought up the tattoo that no one can see. It's on my lip. Look at that. It's on my lip.
2020 was such an awful year for that. I got my only tattoo. I was pissed at the world and the yachting industry, which my family pretty much owns. It just says, fuck off, family of yachts. Right here in my lips.
So then I have Greg. Is he dead? Oh, so Greg goes into the master bedroom and he's like, is he dead? And Nikki's like, seriously, get the fuck out of here. He's like,
get the fuck out. So then now Jean-Luc is awake again from his non-sleep, and Gary gives him all the evening duties, and Jean-Luc is doing this whole thing of like, I couldn't get any sleep, and now I've got a long list to do. It's going to be like nonstop. And I'm like, okay, so Jean-Luc is going to be like the crappy deckhand now. I mean, it sucks that he doesn't fit in his bed, but now he's complaining about his list of things to do.
But his list is really long. Did you listen to the list? It's like, all right, here's what you need to do. Sweep all the decks, then mop all the decks, then clean all the windows, then shine every piece of metal on the boat. I was like, wait a second. This one guy does this overnight?
He's tall. He can do it. So now it's the morning, and serving coffee to everyone, and Jean-Luc is back in bed. They're all up at like 6:30 in the morning, which is shocking because how wasted they were. But Nikki's basically like, don't get wasted tonight, otherwise I'm going home, you assholes.
Yeah. So then there's carrot bacon being served, and Allie tells Natasha, she's like,
he's like, it's a loud, some of the chefs walking by with the death about to turn back and then y'all just doing it.
And she's like, yeah, you know what? You don't have two choices. I stress out or I do it. So I'm doing it. She's like, wow.
If Troy graduated from culinary school, I was invited to cook at Mirazor, which is the best restaurant in the world. And I went there and I cooked, which is very difficult, going from a third world country to, you know, getting a work visa in Europe. So there I was working in the best country in the world. And I thought, wouldn't it be more fun if I worked in a tiny, tiny, tiny galley that was diagonal? So here I am.
So Daisy is like, she's checking on the guests, and she's like, are you okay? The thing about breakfast is, I don't know if we're sailing right away, so I don't know if you want to have breakfast now, if you want to wait, or... And the guy's like, oh, we choose sailing over food. Now, here's where Daisy is so soap opera-y. The thing about breakfast is, I don't know if we're sailing right away. So she's basically starting it off like, how important is breakfast? Because I don't want to serve your breakfast, basically, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And so the guy's like, no, we're real sailors, sailing over food. So she's like, oh, all right, so you want things more in your hands then, as opposed to us setting tables. All right then, sounds great to me, I'll make sure that's taken care of.
Yeah, like, why don't you just say breakfast is about to be served? And also, why are these people have such a hard-on to go sailing at 7 in the morning? Like, chillax. It'll be okay. Because
I think she's made them feel like total wussies if they don't say they want to go sailing right this second. She's phrased it in a way like,
do you care about breakfast or sailing? Are you mice or are you men? All right, let's answer me that.
Do you like sailing or y'all pussies?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Are you pussies who want an omelet or not? Just tell
me. So do you want to sit there in your pussy bottoms eating croissants and all sorts of dainty lady foods? Or do you want to be a real man and go sailing with a breakfast burrito in your hand? You tell me what you want.
We're a man. Put it in a tortilla.
You tell me what you want. So... she goes in. So she goes in to the galley, and she's like, "Well, it turns out they're all a bunch of real men who want to have ham sandwiches and breakfast sandwiches and just little breadsticks in their hands. That's all that I want." And Natasha's just like, and she like looks down. There's like already half of a beautiful spread that's been like arranged, etc.
I mean, huge. It's like a plate this big of like beautifully cut fruit, like laid out in spirals, and like a croissant tray. It's like all this stuff. And she's like, well, I'm accustomed to a different way of doing things. And she's like, well, I agree normally, but you know, these are real men here, so
they're not gonna sit here with their little ladylike fruit plate there. That's not for real men. These are men who want, you know what they want? They want to shoot a seagull, have it land in their hand, and just eat the head right off of it for breakfast while they go sailing.
And Natasha's like, well, you know, you have to initiate the breakfast. You don't just tell them, you know, you just initiate it. And she's like, well, you know what? These are men who run. They don't skip. So they're just going to have some, you know, they're just going to have some handhelds, if you will.
They each have 5 chesticles. You tell men with 5 chesticles that they're only gonna go, they're only gonna have some croissants for breakfast and not sail right away. You do that.
And Natasha's like, no, you set the table and you say breakfast is ready. That's what you fucking do. And so Tacy's like, whoa, well, you know, she's like a dog with a bone, that one. And I'm not going to fall out the first charter, so I'm going to give in this time. But I don't want to be a pushover all season. It's like, you started this whole thing. Daisy's going to be a gaslighting monster. So another great casting job. Good job.
I don't want to be a pushover that is happy to not sail first thing in the morning. Okay, who do you think you are? So
all right. So, all right, breakfast is ready. So here's what we're going to serve. You've got a choice. Diapers or underwear. Choose, boys.
Oh, we got you all some celebratory little dresses that fit tiny little girls for you to wear while you eat your breakfast on a perfectly horizontal boat. All right.
So Natasha is with Gary. I don't know. She's saying, like, everyone's keen to go sailing, but you know what? They're not going sailing in 5 minutes. The goal is to go sailing at, like, 9 in the morning. It's, like, 7:45 or something. So Daisy's like, well, she says you have time for breakfast, so hopefully the wind keeps blowing and you'll get to sail. Because you never know, that chef's trying to ruin your entire sailing life by not letting you sail right now.
It would be such a shame if you never got to express your full manhood after breakfast.
She's such an asshole.
Yeah, I noticed that. So then the big news is that Jean-Luc did not pump all the naughty boys last night. And then he really didn't do a lot of things. He left fingerprints on things and stuff. And Gary tells us that he grew up like super tidy because of his mom. And that's just how he is now. So what Jean-Luc did is like hard for him.
So Daisy goes up to Glenn and she's like, well, the guests are desperate to go sailing, but we're having breakfast instead. And he's like, oh, desperate to sail? Great! Are we going to sail? So he goes and starts getting ready to go sailing. And then the guys who have been pumped up so much for sailing are like, are we sailing or not? What are we doing?
And Rusty's like, well, I've been waiting to go sailing. We even said skip breakfast. I'm like, honestly, it's like, it's 7:30 in the morning. There is like a literal full day of sailing ahead. Like, eat your damn breakfast.
It's the gayest thing I've ever done, eating breakfast. Where's my pride parade?
Well, everyone, breakfast is set. So if you want to go sailing, hopefully we'll go sailing real soon. And when that time comes, I'll just remove the douches from you while you eat your breakfast.
So Natasha gives Allie the carrot bacon and she's like, oh, yummy. And then Daisy is, you know, ordering people around, go do the cabins, blah blah blah. And Nikki's like, no, she's talking to Daisy. There is no Nikki, right? I got Daisy and Nikki
is the guest.
No. I got Nikki confused with the girl Danny. Natalie, the girl from Brazil.
Danny. A lot of them end with an E sound too. There's Nikki, yeah. Natalie, Danny, Gary.
Yes, this is Danny. And she's like, I accepted second stew so I could have more fun and none of the responsibility like the main stew. Ha ha ha.
I have standards.
So she goes and starts doing her work, and then can we get an ETA for sailing? It's like 10-15 minutes or so. And Daisy's like, well, holy shit, now there's the problem. Now I've got to clear all these plates in 10-15 minutes. This is what I was worried about. Well, you wasted 20 damn minutes, Daisy.
That's true. So now they're like rushing to clear the plates before they go sailing and everything. And there's a lot of catabatic winds coming through that accelerate over the hills. At which point Connell's like, catamaran? Did someone say something about a catamaran? No, just catabatic.
Oh, I want to give them a lively sail. Put on that lazy sail. Engine off. And we're sailing.
And the majestic music is playing.
And all the guests are wearing t-shirts that say live strong, sail hard, which is like, okay. So sail hard, guys. Their manliness really is tied up into the sailing. It's really strange.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, I got a lot of wind. So
so since this is below deck, but on its side, a board falls in the kitchen. And Natasha, she's like, what the fuck? yeah. And then one of the guests is like, wow, this is like rich pirates.
Pretty much. So Gary has to wake up Jean-Luc. He's pretty much being a dick because Jean-Luc didn't do a whole bunch of the things that Gary asked him to do. And it's obvious that he didn't do it. But Gary's going to do the passive-aggressive thing where he opens the door and he's like, hey, sorry, I know you've been having some trouble getting some sleep, but did you happen to rinse down the boat last night? Because I noticed it wasn't rinsed down, so you'd think that I wouldn't even have to ask you, but it's kind of fun to ask you and make you feel shame about it. Oh, no, production turned on the lights because I'm talking to you right now. So sorry about that, brother.
No, I think he did upstairs. It, yeah? He flipped on the lights.
Did he? I assumed it was...
He was being a dick. He flipped on the lights, and he's like, oh! Because he's on the top bunk, so the light is right in his eye while he's trying to sleep.
Oh, I thought production turned the light on.
And then Gary goes, whoopsie.
He's
like,
all
right, brother. Well, I guess I'll let you sleep now. And he leaves, and Jean-Luc is very, very upset.
Yeah. So, Jean-Luc is telling Colin afterwards that polishing the whole boat in 6 hours is impossible. And then we see dolphins. Dolphins are like the breakout star of Bravo in 2021. We've seen them on Real Housewives of Atlanta. We've seen them on Southern Charm. And now here, although there is some question about are they dolphins or are they sharks? Either way, the dolphin shark is a breakout star and it's here on Below Deck Sailing. So that's exciting. Yeah. Yeah.
So the guys are going to go snorkeling. One of them's like, hey, let's snorkel. Another one goes, I've never snorkeled. He goes, do you know how to breathe? Then you know how to snorkel.
This just in, a man has drowned in Croatia. It's not as simple as that, Greg. So now we have Danny telling Allie how to do laundry. Okay, so when you take things out of the dryer, just fold them? That's my tip.
Yeah. Like when you say things coming out of the dryer, you need to fold them and then put them on top so it looks nice and not messy. And she's like, okay, have you ever had carrot bacon? It's really good. I'm a rebel. I wish carrot bacon was called like death meals or something really, really rebellious.
So now Greg and Alex are going to go paddling out into the waters, and the toys are going out and everything. And Gary tells Jean-Luc to keep an eye out on the guys who are paddleboarding, Alex and Greg. And then so Jean-Luc is supposed to be keeping an eye on them, but then Nikki starts talking to him, and she's like, I told her eldest, we found your future husband. She loves shitty tattoos. Hello, like mother, like daughter. Am I right? Am I right? Anyway, you're hot. For my daughter.
I told her I saw a guy who's real tall and he's got a tattoo of ground beef being unwrapped at a supermarket. So she's into it. You married? And he's like, oh, yeah. Where are you based out of? Oh, West Coast? Well, there are jobs on the West Coast. This guy's such a goofball.
He is.
So every guy on the show is terrible, right? What do we think is going to happen in the future? I think Colin's going to be pretty decent. And yeah, Colin, obviously Glenn's fine.
Colin seems to be the best so far. I think that I can't tell with Gary. Gary seems like he'll be awful, but I actually don't find him awful just yet. So I'm holding out hope that maybe he might be a surprise. I'm holding out hope that he might be season one Ashton as opposed to season two Ashton. But you never know.
He's going to be a monster, I think. I'm calling monster.
There's a very good shot. I mean, that's because they... all men on Below Deck tend to be monsters, but so far I have like a glimmer of hope that he might not be a monster. Not sure. I think just because he's like really tidy and that's basically it. So
you just like a clean person. Like, I like him. He cleans up after himself.
He's clean. It seems like it's a step towards being a person. But then again, Joao is probably tidy too. So so Gary and Daisy are just sitting in the crew mess talking about, like, they're basically gossiping about their staffs, and Daisy's like, yes, I think that Danny is really strong. I'm really happy with Danny. And Gary thinks that Sydney is strong, but he thinks that Jean-Luc is not great. But Daisy tells him that Jean-Luc hasn't been sleeping, and Gary's like, oh, okay. Like, but, you know, he clearly doesn't care.
yeah.
And then out on the deck, Garrett's people are like, hey, where did Alex and Greg go? There's not... We're missing some wackiness on board. Where are those guys? They're somewhere on the ocean, aren't they?
Yeah. It's like, God, you know, the air has changed, or we're missing some toxic masculinity. Anybody have... Oh, my God, where are the guys? Where are the guys? And Jean-Luc's like, oh, my God, I was totally about to move to Newport to marry some skank that... whose mother I just met. Darn it, I lost them. And so now they're like, oh my God, where are the douchebags?
Yeah. And that's the cliffhanger, that we lost the douchebag and the generally pleasant guy who wound up getting roped into this trip. So the guy whose his only screen time is that he doesn't know how to snorkel, and then he was just like sent off into the great blue. So I guess we'll have to find out what happens. Hopefully, I'm rooting for the sharks. I'm rooting for the sharks.
Yeah, dinner time, suckas.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Well, thanks so much for being with us today. Thanks for being with us on demand. Those of you watching this video. Yes. Ew, I just spit all over the place for no reason.
I've been spitting forever.
Jeez.
This entire recap.
Thanks. This was super fun. We will be back next time. We'll be back tomorrow with Real Housewives of Dallas. So join us again for that. I think that's it.
Yeah, thanks so much, everyone. Talk to y'all later.
Bye.
Bye. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels. Dana C. Dana Do.
Let's Run Some Errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie, she's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Higher Than High Res, she's Lauren Perez.
Patricia Murdoch, she wrote.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, Cease and Desisto. Better Than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible, edible Matthews Sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.